The Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you this morning. In his 1954 sermon, Transformed Nonconformist, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, quote, the saving of our world from pending doom will not come through the complacent adjustment of the conforming majority, but through the creative maladjustment of a nonconforming minority. Some years ago, Professor Bixler reminded us of the dangers of overstressing the well-adjusted life. There are some things in our world to which people of goodwill must be maladjusted. End quote. The most formative essay that I was ever asked to write in preparation for ministry was a defense of the relevance of Christian scriptures today. I wrote then, and stand by now, that our scriptures contain the wisdom that orient us in the midst of sin and crisis, that the gospel offers us sacred wisdom that will bring us back to ourselves when we have become lost, when the complacent adjustment of the conforming majority ends up being adjustment to the very things Christ calls us to be maladjusted. If we're honest with ourselves and one another, it has become uncomfortable to celebrate Earth Day in the midst of a climate crisis that already drastically affects people across the world. A crisis during which many of those with the power to reduce climate change's acceleration are dragging their feet to respond. Combined with the frequent headlines we have endured in recent years of heat records, devastating flooding, long drawn-out fire seasons. Unsurprisingly, studies show that many people today, especially the younger generations, experience persistent anxiety about climate change and global warming. My favorite headline this recent Earth Day on Friday of 2022 was, For Earth Day, Strategies to Cope with Climate Anxiety. Excellent, I thought. I love to celebrate Earth Day with strategies for coping. But it's apropos, right? It's honest. I'm not sure if I qualify as younger generations, but I feel, if not anxiety, the deep brokenness. I understand the helplessness and the dread. I feel the grief and the anger, and it wouldn't be emotionally honest of me to say otherwise. And you may also feel these things when we allow our feelings to be felt. But here's the thing this Earth Sunday. I don't want to talk about strategies for coping, and I don't want to give you tips for greener living. You know how to use Google, and if you don't, you know someone who does. And instead, our gospel text today calls us to a deeper place, into identification of the spiritual crisis of which climate change is symptomatic, and the invitation to answer Jesus' call to healing, to wholeness, and yes, to joy. I am not suggesting that Jesus is speaking here in our text to the 21st century global climate disaster, but his wisdom offers us a template that is, in fact, addressing this issue. When Jesus speaks today of abiding, he articulates a level of interrelationship that has been obfuscated and denied in our modern lives. Scripturally speaking, to abide is to dwell. In today's passage, to dwell in an elaborate web of mutual indwelling, or what some call interbeing. It is the spiritual awareness to which we are called that to be is to interbe. It is an enduring relationship between the divine and all of creation that is so close, the edges of who is who and what is what begin to blur. We believe in an incarnate God, one who is revealed to us in the person of Jesus through Scripture and through creation. Jesus Christ is the true vine, who our gospel writer is sure to clarify through whom all things were made. It is abundantly clear we are branches of this vine. Our vitality, our spirit, our life is not our own, but inextricably part of a vast life force that permeates all creation. The inextricability of all life in our one Creator is evident throughout the created world. The in-breath and out-breath exchanged between animal and plant life, the water cycles that draw water up through evaporation and rain it down from the heavens, the food chains that balance an ecosystem, the fact that every time we eat, the nutrients and building blocks of our food become us, and that when we die, the building blocks of our bodies once more become earth. We see it every time we watch new life grow out of a nurse log. Why then, I ask us, are we surprised that there's plastic in our blood? Yes, you may have heard. A study was released in the Netherlands last month in which for the first time scientists evaluated the internal exposure of plastic particles in human blood. The study analyzed blood samples from 22 healthy individuals from the public, and I discovered that 17, that's 80% of them, have plastic particles in their bloodstream, including PET plastic used in drinking bottles. The study also found plastics from packaged foods and plastic bags. We have known for some time that microplastics are in the food we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink. But this new evidence that the particles and chemicals used in these plastics are in our blood has caused considerable alarm and increased urgency. Yet if we are shocked, people of God, it goes to show how far afield we have fallen from our knowledge of the natural order and design of God's creation. We have forgotten interbeing. This is our spiritual crisis. We have betrayed our place in the ecosystems of God's creation. We have broken from the vine. In our gospel reading, Jesus speaks in clear language. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is not, as I thought when I was a child, a threat. Why I thought Jesus threatened anyone, I'm not sure. But it is, as we mature, we recognize it is observable truth. When we behave as if we are or can possibly be set apart from the vine, we jeopardize more than our relationships with one another. We break with the creation that sustains all life. This includes our water, our soils, our air, and all animal life. Believing that we are separate from these things conforms us to systems of death. If we are to survive and thrive, we must address this. We do not seek Christ among the dead. We seek him among the living. Facing the realities of today, I do again experience the helplessness so many of us feel, that make us believe we can do nothing. I am present to that which in me which feels like a withered, burning branch, painfully broken off from that which gives life. I do not feel threatened by what Jesus speaks today, only seen. I feel named the spiritual crisis of my life, that it is given language I can understand. Because none of us seeks to feel like a broken and withered branch, we seek to become well-adjusted and to cope. Yet becoming well-adjusted to systems of death can never free or heal us. It can only mute the dissonance in our hearts as we treat the symptoms and not the disease. Jesus says, "Abide in me." Because once we have been broken, it requires our intention and spiritual discipline to return. It is not about a cognitive grasp or acquiescence to a theological idea. It is a day-to-day, moment-to-moment spiritual practice to choose life instead of death. Today, we are called to remember our mutual indwelling with all life in Christ, to listen for the heartbeat of God in the body of the world and the world in us. Reconnecting to the profound mutual indwelling, the enduring relationship of all life that is so close, to find that the edges of who is who and what is what begin to blur. Let the light of life return to you in each footfall on the soil, each breath of the air, each bite of your food, each sip of your water, each bird song, each spring flower. None of these things will solve the climate crisis. But, and you may call me sentimental if you will, but I sincerely believe that when we choose to abide in the Creator, in the Word of creation, to remember our interbeing with life, our fundamental orientation and action in the world will shift in response. We will choose to relinquish the systems of death. We will no longer struggle to seek our capacity or our way for remedy of the harm we cause. We may be maladjusted in the world, but creatively so. We will, in fact, rediscover joy and bear fruit, because that is what Jesus promises to us today. He says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." And I say to you the same. I don't want for any of us mere coping, nor that our well-being be through adjustment to a world that is burning around us. I want for you, for me, for our children, for all life, the promised joy in Christ, which we will find when we rediscover the abiding presence of the love of God and the revelation of the Word in the created world of which we are part. Beloved, if you are angry, heartbroken, and worried for your children and your grandchildren, I understand and am with you in those feelings. And that is why we are called to go to where it hurts, where the break is, to heal there first. And the one thing I will say about climate anxiety is that Scripture tells us that the mystery of the divine will of God is a plan that in the fullness of time, God will gather up all things into God's self, things on heaven and things on earth. And I do believe it. Blessed be the Creator who empowers us for the sake of a beloved creation. Blessed be to Christ, who is the one true vine who gives all things life. Blessed be to the Spirit, who intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Beloved, this Earth Sunday, choose to reclaim your vitality, your creativity, and your joy. Amen.